B-Pod Studios.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's on the B-Pod Studios Network, which is where we recommend you get your podcasts, or iTunes, or Spotify, wherever you get them. You can also find us on our HD2 station, Rift 2, Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. It's where we broadcast live.
Live! I don't know that in a while.
Simulated live.
Simulated live.
Yes.
It is James and Al Beck hanging out with me. And this week's episode is going to be kind of special because I got two interviews coming up for this week's episode.
Nice.
Both guys who are going to be at Astronomicon. And then, you know, James also going to be at Astronomicon.
Yeah,
so it's an Astronomicon preview week.
Really? So I don't need to be here? I will see you later, guys.
Bye. Bye. Yeah.
Say get out of here, Al. Then we can talk crap about you.
Well, you do that when I'm here anyway.
Yeah, it's funner when you're here.
Yeah, it is.
You see your facial reactions.
It's,
go from happy and jolly to instantly saddened.
Happy and jolly. Right. Two words that have never been used to describe me. It's certainly not on this show.
So, yeah, it's also kind of a weird day because we got a huge-ass ice storm
this morning.
How was, you guys got here a couple hours before I did. How was the trip?
I mean, not bad, but I'm only like 10 minutes from the station, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, the surface roads were the worst part.
It's for me, it just.
Even now.
Fire up the remote start, get the car heated up, so the ice just with the wipers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the, you know, you mentioned the service streets being the worst part of it.
Yeah.
By the time we were coming in, though, they hadn't touched anything yet. So
right.
You were pretty much just as good on the surface street as you were on the freeway.
Sure.
So I took the surface street and I did a top speed, I think, of 30 miles an hour on my way in. So it took a little time, but I left early and, you know, everyone, we got here and, you know, we did the thing.
It's like a Boy Scout. He's always prepared.
Right. Well, I was a Boy Scout.
I leave early, make sure I got enough fuel.
I'm just insane, James.
The proper PSI in the tires for, the most gripping driving in the icy conditions.
I keep getting an alert on my car saying that, like, oh, one of the tires is low, and it's the same tire every time, and I need to get it replaced.
Yeah, if I have a rim leak.
Yeah, but all I have to do is like air it up, and it goes away.
Yeah, so you put air in it. We know. Here's a trick that people might say you shouldn't do, but when I would always have issues with like rim leaks, just get a Fix-A-Flat, just dump a can of that in there, and then it should at least fix you for quite a few months.
Right.
Because that's what I would do instead of going and get that
fixed. I always figure if I can get towards when the weather breaks and it's like nice again, then all right, now it's time to work on the car.
Right, yeah. But I'll give that to you.
But it always breaks when it's cold.
Yeah.
So you're like, ah. Al, I've got a present for you. I've got a treat.
Oh?
First of all, I wanted to let you know that my comic book store was sold out of the 3D X-Men issue.
Oh.
So you're off the hook for last week.
All right!
James is saying, oh, because he wanted to see it.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to put those 3D glasses on, relive from my childhood.
Right, exactly. But that's too bad, though.
I got
a treat for you this week. So I brought in that issue last week and told you about the Age of X-Men that's going on. Well, in the regular Uncanny X-Men book, all the main X-Men are gone, except for two X-Men who have not been around for quite a few years, and that is Wolverine and Cyclops.
Okay.
They've both been believed dead. And the first issue of that story came out this week, and I wanted to bring the book in so that you could give me both barrels on the price.
Yeah, well, I mean, I already knew it was going to be expensive because it is a beefy book.
It's a weighty book,
and it is, oh my, $7.99.
Yep.
Charles.
Yeah. But I am so excited to read it.
Is that Cyclops on the cover?
Yeah.
It's looking more and more like RoboCop every day, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
He is. Yeah. You know, I mean, okay, I'm glad they brought him back, I guess. I never was crazy about that whole, what did they call that? I can't remember that storyline, but the whole Phoenix thing.
The death of X or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever it was. But basically he's, I don't think James read it, so basically he's... got the Phoenix has got Scott Summers and ends up,
it used to be what Jean Grey
it used to be Jean Grey but yeah and then so he
they had a big crossover called the Avengers versus X-Men where the Avengers knew the Phoenix was coming back to Earth and they had an idea that which one of the X-Men it was going to be, so they went to where the X-Men were and was like, hey, we want to head this off before bad things happen.
Gotcha.
And we go and put this person like in isolation. The X-Men like, no, not at all.
They're like, not our main babe. No.
Right. So they started fighting, and then the Phoenix ended up in like five different X-Men. Okay. And Cyclops was one of them. And while he was possessed by the Phoenix,
spoiler alert,
he murdered Charles Xavier.
Oh.
Yeah.
So for,
they were like the best of buds, too.
He was
He was like the Golden Boy. He was like the X-Men Golden Boy. He killed the Master, huh?
And this is what I hated so much about it, is that, you know, Jean Grey does some terrible things as the Phoenix, and they're like, well, it's okay, Jean, you were...
She wipes out a universe. She snuffs out a star and wipes out an entire solar system, and everyone's like, oh, but it's Jean.
But it's Jean, and she was possessed by the Phoenix.
She meant well.
Right, well, okay, there you go. Yeah.
She had good intentions behind that mass
murder. But Scott Summers, similar thing, it doesn't go down that way, and that's what always kind of bugged me about it.
Well, it's because it's a face on it. Not just like, there's a bunch of aliens I've never met before.
Yeah, exactly. You have no connection to the planet that she wiped out, but, you know, everybody's got, it's like Grandpa Charles, you know?
Yeah.
Grandpa X.
I know. It just bugged me, and then it's when the whole X-Men Underground thing, and I don't know.
It always
rubbed me the wrong way.
But he's back, and like I was telling you last week, X-Men kind of wiped out everybody who was fighting him, so the only two X-Men standing, as of right now, are Cyclops and Wolverine. The last remaining X-Men in the main Marvel universe until, you know, the Age of X-Men.
Well, as I always say,
come back. So
superhero deaths are just like rock star retirements. They never last.
It's just a way to kind of a way to write them off the stage for a little bit.
Give them a break. It's like in wrestling when the guy gets injured.
Or something like that.
He's out for injury.
Yeah.
Oh, why?
The Undertaker would routinely get injured and be off for 7 months.
Yeah.
After WrestleMania.
Come back. Just in time for that WrestleMania build.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The Undertaker is coming back for WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. So his yearly appearance. He's contracted to appear like twice.
Is he still around?
Undertaker?
Yeah.
He showed up last year, right? Yeah.
How old is he now?
He squashed Cena. Yeah. And then he was at the...
He was at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Then he was also whatever they did in Australia, right? Because they had the Grandpa duel with Shawn Michaels at Triple H and Undertaker and Kane.
The Grampy battle.
Yeah. I was like, oof, this is hard to watch. Get your Ben Gay ready.
Yeah, it's a weird match when Kane is the strongest worker.
The only one with the strength. He's not on some sort of geriatrics program.
Right. Before we get to those interviews, those Astronomicon interviews, though, I found this article on CBR and I wanted to run it by you guys a little bit of like we did about a month ago, where there's a list of stuff and I'll just name stuff off and you guys give me your take on it. It's the article was called All the Superhero Movies That Don't Hold Up Today and a handful that actually do.
Okay. All right.
So I'll tell you what, I'll name a movie and you guys let me know if you've seen it, if you think it holds up or not, and then I'll tell you what the article said.
Okay.
It starts with The Mask of Zorro from 1998 with Antonio Banderas.
I have seen it.
Yeah.
Why is that funny?
Because I've sadly seen it too. We actually own a copy of it. Not in my home, but my parents' home.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it.
I think in my massive stack of DVDs, I do have The Mask of Zorro.
Yeah, I know I've seen it. Because there's an old dude in it. Who was the old dude?
Was it Anthony Hopkins?
Maybe it was Anthony Hopkins. It's not Sean Connery. But there's like an old dude who had to like teach Antonio Banderas to be the young, hot, hunky Zorro.
All right, well, then I'm going to say yes, because Anthony Hopkins is phenomenal, so it must hold up.
You think it holds up?
I don't think it'll hold up. I mean, maybe it's an entertaining movie, but I feel like any kind of Zorro-based thing where you're fighting like with fencing swords, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
No. We have nuclear weapons now.
Well, I'm also, used to the Zorro from like 1940. So.
Yeah.
Right. So this is quite an update. Yeah,
you probably have the whole volume on like DVD.
Yeah.
According to the article, it does not hold up.
No. Okay.
Yeah, see, they're on my side.
It's been years since I've seen it, so I really couldn't tell you.
This movie, they say, does hold up. I'm curious to get you guys' take on this, because this may be unanimous. Blade 2, 2002.
I haven't seen any of the Blades.
No, I saw the first one, and it was good.
I think I maybe seen parts of the first one, but I don't know. For whatever reason, I didn't buy Wesley Snipes as a vampire dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, I there's three, right?
There are
three.
Triple H was in the third one.
Well, I don't remember that.
Was he really?
He was a bad guy.
That's awesome.
Well, as long as we're at it, then what about Suburban Commando with the Undertaker?
Oh, yeah. That holds up for sure. That one holds up. That has great comedy appeal. Christopher Lloyd. Yeah, come on, or is he the nanny?
Christopher Lloyd was in it.
He's in it, right?
Yeah, he was in that. Yeah. Hulk Hogan, come on. Yeah. My brother and I loved that movie growing up. I kind of want to go watch it now this weekend. I might. I'm going to see if it's on iTunes. But I will say about Blade, I've seen all three of them. I wasn't crazy about them to begin with.
Yeah.
To the point where when I started reading comics again and Blade showed up, I was like, oh my God, here we go. And then I read it. I was like, oh, okay, this isn't that bad. So the movie kind of turned me off on the character.
He's in the Avengers right now. The current run of Avengers is Jason Aaron's
doing.
They're fighting Dracula and some vampires.
Come on. How sad is it, guy, that you have to enlist the Avengers to help you fight Dracula? Yeah. Well, come on. The guy from Castlevania took his ass out by himself with a whip. You got to call an Iron Man and the bros?
Right. Well, Dracula's certainly not going to bite through the Iron Man armor, that's for sure. All right, let's get to it. Meteor Man. Do you guys remember this?
Never seen it. I've never even seen it.
Yeah, no, it does not hold up, so...
Man, that's like the first time they tried to get an African-American like action comic kind of star, right? Am I thinking the right Meteor Man?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he blazed a trail for Blade and Black Panther, you know?
Right. The Crow, I think we all can agree, holds up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I can all agree on that.
No!
But, you know what? I was never into The Crow. It was too many weird kids in high school that were obsessed with The Crow, so I never actually watched it.
Okay.
I know.
Sure, okay, yeah.
The Bruce Lee son or whatever died in the filming or whatever.
Yeah, it was
RIP,
the anniversary of that last week.
But yeah, The Crow...
It's a cult classic. I'll give that. I'll give it that.
How about 1994's The Shadow?
Oh, never seen that. Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, yes.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I saw it. It was terrible when I saw it.
Yes. Again, so. This is not even a joke. I enjoyed the Shadow old-time radio show from the 1940s. Oh, knows when evil looks not as men. Yep. The Shadow knows.
He's in that crazy ring, right?
The Hulk from 2003, the one with all the comic book panel.
Eric Bannis?
Yeah.
That didn't hold up in 2003.
Yeah, no, they say it holds up in this article.
No.
So I don't know.
No, I thought that was a valiant effort to try and really present a movie as though it was a comic book, but it just didn't pan out, I don't think. So, really, that thing tanked, and they completely changed everything when they did The Hulk again.
It
failed in 2003. How is it holding up? How is it on that? This list has been discredited.
Yeah, well, how about the original, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man from 22?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed all
the Tobey Maguire
the third one?
Yep.
I don't mind those movies.
Yeah.
No, they're not
bad. I'm not crazy about the third one, but I don't mind the third
one. That's the only one I have any major issues with. Yeah. They made them all emo, and I totally ruined Eddie Brock.
Amy got mad at me because when Spider-Man 3 showed up on Netflix, I was like, it recommended it to her. She's like, no, I don't want to watch that. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that in a while. I kind of want to see that.
You ruined movie night.
The Lone Ranger from 2013.
Johnny
Depp.
Oh, I never got around to watching that. No. Also a fan of the radio
program. It seemed like it'd be...
I feel like I don't even need to ask RoboCop.
I've heard about more of these on the radio from the 30s than I have seen the movies.
RoboCop, 1987.
God, I think I don't even know if I've ever seen RoboCop. I'll be honest.
Come on. Oh, my God.
I know.
The original RoboCop?
Yeah.
I liked it better than 2. I like it better than the remake.
Movies like that, like we talked about how I hadn't seen Die Hard for the longest time or whatever. I couldn't get away with seeing stuff like that in my house growing up. So by the time I was an adult and could make those decisions, it either wasn't on my mind or I would see it and it was way too late to see it for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, like Die Hard, I was not crazy about when I borrowed it for Chuck for 8 months.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he even actually watched it.
Nope, not at all.
I watched the first one. I didn't watch the rest of them.
Just collected dust.
All right, here's the last four. The 1978 Superman movie. Christopher Reeves.
The movie, I like it. It's got a nostalgia factor for me, but let's be honest. All the old Superman movies are pretty bad.
Yeah.
They're bad. They've got a place in my heart, but they're bad movies.
Yeah. 2008's Iron Man, the beginning of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I've watched it recently. I'd say it holds up.
I think it's
up.
Good.
It
holds up.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know what their reasonings are, but in this list on CBR.com, they say it doesn't hold up. I disagree.
Well. Somebody's probably a fan of their Robert Downey Jr.'s other work, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah, Batman, 1989.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, it's and then the number one movie, and they say this one doesn't hold up. I don't understand why. Doctor Strange.
What?
2016.
Really?
It's only it's only like 3 years old.
Oh, man. This
movie
did
not hold up.
They took a comic book movie and they combined it with Inception. It was awesome.
Yeah.
They did a wonderful job with it. I was not even a Doctor Strange fan until I saw the movie, and I was like, holy crap, Doctor Strange kicks ass.
Right.
Yeah, no, I would say it holds up. How could it even have lost? Like I said, it's only three years old.
Right.
That's insane.
Now, I mentioned last year on the show when I went back and watched the original Kick-Ass, I didn't realize how much of that movie revolves around MySpace and flip phones. So.
Oh.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
There's like a little time travel.
Right, for sure. All right, well, let's get to those interviews. James, I'll see you out at Astronomicon.
Yeah, man, can't wait to see you.
This weekend, and I'll talk to you next week, Al.
Sounds good.
Nerd Radio returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Nerd Radio.
It's cool. I'm taking it back.
What are you nuts?
I'm taking it back. You watch.
All right. It is Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, on the B-Pod Studios Network, and of course, on our HD2 station, Rift 2, Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Well, Astronomicon coming up this coming weekend, February the 8th through the 10th at the Wyndham Gardens in Sterling Heights. And on the phone with me right now, one of the guests who was actually at last year's Astronomicon, Mr. Bill Moseley. How are you this morning, Bill?
I can't get enough ice and snow, so I got to come back.
I guess so. That's one of the things I looked up and wanted to ask you about. Like, you were here last year when we had that huge blizzard, and now we're looking at sub-zero temps. Are you originally from, like, a Midwestern state, or are you from a...
I am actually from Barrington, Illinois. That's where I grew up. It's about 40 miles northwest of Chicago, so...
Oh, yeah, so you know all about the cold weather.
Yeah, nothing new to me.
All right, man. Well, it's going to be great to see you again this year. I would have to imagine you had a great time if you're coming back.
Oh, I love it. I have a great time, and especially because they put us in a hotel that was about a 10-minute walk to White Castle. So I spent a lot of time, snacking on the White Castle burgers.
That's fantastic. So do you do a lot of, I know there's horror conventions, and of course there's comic conventions, stuff like that. Do you end up doing a lot of the convention circuit?
I do, actually. Yeah, I try to do, I seem to do about between 8 and 10 a year, and it's really great. It's great to get out of the house here in sunny Los Angeles.
Makes you appreciate the sun and the warmth a little bit more when you go back home.
Yes, it's really, it's a lot of fun to to get out, see the fans, and hang out with my fellow monsters.
For sure, yeah.
That's always a good thing.
I see that you do tend to gravitate towards a lot of your Devil's Rejects cohorts. You guys all
Actually, this year, unlike last year, I'm joined at Astronomicon by good old Sid the Kid Haig,
yeah,
a.k.a. Captain Spaulding, so that should be a lot of fun. And then I think I'll see Kane Hodder again. There's a bunch of Kane Hodder, who, by the way, even though he was certainly a great Jason in a bunch of Friday the 13th movies, was the stunt coordinator of Devil's Rejects.
Really?
Yes, and I thought he did an amazing job. I've certainly done a lot of movie work and worked with a lot of different stunt coordinators, many of whom have been really great. But I thought Kane's stuff was the best I've ever seen.
Well, that's great. Now, this is something I wanted to ask you about, because going over your IMDb before I talk to you here, I see that you do mostly horror and sci-fi. Now, was that something you aimed for when you started doing movies, or did you just kind of fall into it?
It's certainly something I love and enjoy. I think what happens is a lot of times, it's not so much pigeonholing, although I do remember actually, it was very funny about, I think it was, I'm not even sure how far back it was, maybe 92 or 3, when I did a Disney movie called White Fang. And I was up in Haines, Alaska, and one of my cast members was James Remar. He's a great actor, The Warriors and, all kinds of stuff, Beverly Hills Cop. And I remember talking to him about whether or not by doing a lot of horror movies, I'd be, quote, pigeonholed. And I remember him turning to me, with kind of a dour expression, and he looked at me and he said, "You'd be lucky to be pigeonholed."
So, that seems like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, I guess so. And the good news is I'm a horror fan first and foremost. I love the genre. It's really been good to me, and it's a great way to it's the best way for me to express myself, I guess. And also, once you start doing work like that, you tend to get pigeonholed, meaning, you know, people think of you as, you know, that song and dance guy, the monster guy, you know, whatever else, the action guy.
Sure.
And also, you end up making a bunch of relationships in these, you know, in the different genres among the different directors and writers and fellow actors. So, it's become just that has become my main genre, certainly not the only one, but very happy with it and very comfortable.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, you seem to gravitate a lot towards, say, the same directors or the same actors or something like that. And it lends itself to the idea that there's a very tightly knit community, almost a family, when it comes to a lot of like the sci-fi and the horror genre, when it comes to making those movies. Rob Zombie, I got to ask, how did that happen? Did he call you? Was he a big fan?
It happened. I first met Rob back in October of '99 when I emceed a little on-site horror award show over at Universal Studios here in Los Angeles, and they were doing kind of their Halloween month, and one of the things that they had was a pretty much of an in-house horror award show called the Igor Awards. And they needed an MC, and the guy who was running it knew that I was Chop Top and Johnny from Night of the Living Dead. And
sure.
He called me up and he said, hey, do you want to do this MC gig? And I said, sure, you know, because there was money in it. So, of course, I was interested.
That always helps.
Yeah. And I said, would you like me to come as Chop Top? And he said, well, it's not a Universal monster. Let me find out. And he called around and he realized that I had been in Army of Darkness, AKA Evil Dead 3,
right,
which was a Universal film. And so he said, well, you are a part of the Universal family. Why don't you come as Chop Top? So he gave me a little extra money to bring along a makeup person. And so I got made up as Chop Top and emceed the whole show in a kind of my tattered tuxedo as Chop Top. And one of the award recipients was Rob Zombie. And it freaked him out. He came out on stage and he looked at me and he went, you know, holy shit, it's the real Chop Top.
Right.
And he told me later that he thought I was doing a, you know, a reasonably good Chop Top, and then realized, you know, my God, that is Chop
That's
Top.
That's the guy.
So, yeah, and you know, about a month after that, you know, I met him backstage afterwards and everything. And about a month later, I got a call from his manager saying that his Rob's script, House of a Thousand Corpses, had just been greenlighted, meaning they said yes to the money.
Right.
And Rob was wondering if I wanted to play this character called Otis Driftwood. And you know, I was certainly, you know, happy to play anything at that point. And I got the script and realized, you know, holy shit, this is a pretty big part.
Right.
And, you know, I just suited up and showed up and never really, you know, put Otis down. I mean, Otis has been a big part of my life now for, these last almost 20 years. And we're going to see Otis again, of course, sometime later this year when Three from Hell comes out, which, of course, is the sequel to Devil's Rejects.
Yeah. Now, that was something I wanted to ask you, too. Was there talks when you guys were doing House of a Thousand Corpses? Was there like, yeah, we're going to do a series of these?
No, there wasn't. And in fact, it was interesting because I don't think Rob was necessarily a big fan of sequels to horror movies, where a lot of times, especially in the horror genre, you get these kind of watered down sequels, which were, you know, kind of, you know, half-assed attempts, you know, they're kind of reworks of the originals, with really the stated purpose not so much to advance the story as much as it is to get some more money out of the long-suffering horror fans. So Rob wasn't really a fan of sequels for sequel's sake, but after House of a Thousand Corpses, Lionsgate was so excited, and of course the horror fans were so excited, and there was a story to continue. So Rob wrote Devil's Rejects, and of course that was you know, a huge hit. And now Three from Hell you know, carries on the story, whatever that means. And so we'll all be excited to see just what that in fact entails.
Right. Or what could be
later this year.
What could even be in the future past that?
I don't know.
Well, I got a couple more questions before I let you go here this afternoon. Of course, you're going to be at Astronomicon, the second Astronomicon in Sterling Heights, February the 8th through the 10th. It's going to be a grand time. What's going on with Corn Bugs?
Corn Bugs, I haven't talked to Buckethead in like about 10 years, so
yeah.
I'm not really sure what's happening to Corn Bugs. After Corn Bugs came Spider Mountain.
Right, that was my next question.
With a guy named, Ronnie Sharone of Stolen Babies. And Ronnie's around, so there may be more Spider Mountain in the works. And then I teamed up with Phil Anselmo of the late, great Pantera.
Right.
And we put out Bill and Phil, Songs of Darkness and Despair, nice EP a couple of years ago. And lately I'm working with a band called War Beast. And they just lost their great lead singer, Bruce Corbett, R.I.P., and a couple of the guys from War Beast and I are working on a little band called Mr. Machine, and we're working away on that. That's also on Housecore Records, just like the Bill and Phil EP. So still bouncing along, and you know, happy to be teaming up with War Beast.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you said you haven't really talked to Buckethead in about a decade. Do you feel, when you see him doing well, do you feel like a sense of pride? Like, hey, I know that guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, imagine, you know, getting on stage at 7 a.m. and looking out in Brazil, you know, on a crowd of 200,000 people in a giant soccer stadium and starting to play the opening notes of Welcome to the Jungle.
Right.
That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
That alone, I mean, that vision alone is just mind-boggling. I'm glad. I'm very happy that he's doing well. I love Buckethead. I love working with him. And, you know, I wish him only the best.
Well, in addition to seeing you this weekend at Astronomicon, you've got a whole bunch of stuff lined up. You are a busy man. I see on your IMDb, you've got a ton of stuff in pre-production and quite a few things just from the title alone that I want to see. There's a movie in here called Exorcism at 60,000 Feet. That is right up my alley. I got to know what that's about. That's going to be a fun time.
That was so much fun. Actually, I just went to a screening of it about 10 days ago. And it's great. It's hilarious. It's another collaboration with Corpsey Ryan of magazine and now, a production company called Girls and Corpses. And it is hilarious.
Yeah, no, like I said, just from the title alone, it sounds great.
Yeah, it's very funny. Very funny. And I think that's coming out sooner than later, I think. I think they're, you know, like a lot of times what'll happen is a movie will get made, and then of course even after post-production and everything that goes with producing a movie, then of course you've got to sell the movie,
right?
Somebody's got to buy it and distribute it, and I also have a movie out called Crepitus, Crepitus.
Uh-huh.
That's coming out one of these days. I play a scary clown in that, and that also is, you know, on the runway, you know, waiting to take off into some kind of a distribution deal.
Right.
So those are at least two that are actually waiting in the wings. And, you know, I've got more ahead, you know, in terms of actually shooting stuff this year. So I say Three from Hell comes out sometime this year. I'm not sure when, but
sure.
It's going to be pretty exciting.
Well, you're in both the industries where you do the work and then you, like, months later get to see the results when it comes to, like, the music industry and the movie industry. So I'm sure I'm sure it took some getting used to it first, but now it's just old hat. You do the work and then, you know, like, maybe later this year or next year, I'm going to, you know, I'll hear back about how this turned out.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to have something, you know, in the can like that so that you know, have something to look forward to. In the meantime, you know, I walk the dog and wash the dishes.
Right. Well,
you know, and try to keep my younger daughter in college and, you know, keep up with my older daughter who's, you know, very successful fashion model. So, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And in between projects, you get to come out and see us like you do this weekend at Astronomicon. It's
very
exciting.
Yes.
It's going to be a fun time.
Sterling Heights. I remember the first time I heard of Sterling Heights was when I picked up the phone in my apartment here in Los Angeles and dialed Dr. Kevorkian. And that was obviously many years ago, right after, when Jack and that was it, Doug Feiger, were having all of their, they were driving around in the Deathmobile and giving people a way out of terminal illnesses. And I just called him up. I thought, man, this guy is amazing. Because at the time I was working for a science fiction magazine called Omni. So I just called up, and there he was in Sterling. I think he was in Sterling, not Sterling Heights. And, he picked up the phone, and I had a nice conversation with him. And, we were working on, an interview. It didn't work out, but it was very cool that, I'm going back to Sterling Heights, and, it's got a lot of a lot of history.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're going to be out there. You're going to get to see a whole bunch of different it's not just a horror convention. There's professional wrestlers like Jake the Snake Roberts will be out there, and Scott Steiner, Twisted, of course, putting, kind of organizing the thing. And they'll be out there along.
Love those guys.
Yeah. Blazy Den Homie. And, of course, our own James from our morning show, Dave and Chuck the Freak, going to be out there as well.
All right.
It's been fantastic to talk to you, Bill. I look forward to
thank you very much.
Meeting you face to face at Astronomicon.
I'll be there. You'll see me. I'm the guy with the knit face mask and too much long underwear and big boots and a parka.
Excellent, man. Thanks for thanks for talking to me this morning, Bill.
All right, my pleasure.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This just in. Flash! Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all ships at sea. Nerd Radio is taking the country by storm.
This is Nerd Radio.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRIF.com, on iTunes, on Spotify, and of course on Rift 2 Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. This weekend, a huge weekend, is the return of the second annual Astronomicon. And on the phone right now with me, also returning for the second Astronomicon, is Comic Book Men's own Ming Chen. How are you this afternoon, Ming?
I'm doing great. How are you? I'm heading to the land of, Werner's Faygo, better made potato chips. How can I not be happy?
That's true. And not only are you returning to Astronomicon for the second year, but like you're kind of from this area. You spent a lot of time here in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. There's no kind of. Between the ages of Jackson, stayed away from that jail, thankfully.
Yes.
Not to ever go back to that jail. And then from 16 to about 22, I grew up in Ann Arbor. I'm a U of M graduate. Like I said, Werner's, you cut me open, I bleed Werner's, man.
Well, it is good stuff. But, as much as I love to drink Werner's, I promise, I meet you at Astronomicon, no stabbings.
All right, yeah, okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
No stabbing at all. So you came last year to Astronomicon, and you're coming back, so I think the answer to this question is kind of obvious, but how was your Astronomicon last year?
I thought it went great. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a diehard fan of Twisted. I know there are a lot of dedicated fans out there. But when I met Jamie Madrox and Monoxide, I saw that they were true fans of horror and pop culture. And, although they might look a little funny and, they dress up in weird makeup. And, maybe their music might be a little harder core than what I listen to. We're definitely cut from the same cloth. So... when I heard they were throwing a convention, I'm like, all right, this is going to be interesting. It could be really awesome, or it could be, kind of weird. And it swung. It was awesome. I had such a great time. Those guys, It would be kind of like if I was in a cool band and I had resources and I had that experience from, you know, throwing really great shows in the music industry and translating that to a Comic-Con, you know, they just knocked it out of the park. So not only was the con great, I met a lot of cool guests and vendors, but their panel stage was kind of like being at a rock concert. So it was fun being on that stage with cool lighting and a really hyped up crowd. So I had a great time, and I'm honored to be returning for year two.
It's going to be great to see you again back at Astronomicon this weekend at the Wyndham Gardens. Now, last year we got a giant snowstorm on that Saturday, but the place was still absolutely packed. This year sounds like the weather's going to be a little bit nicer.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was driving up to the event. I was driving up from Ann Arbor. I'm trudging down 94 just driving over to Sterling Heights, and I think it snowed 15 inches that night. And as I pulled up, I'm like, who but the most diehard fan is going to come out today? And I thought it was going to be, you know, a lighter crowd and people not braving the weather. And, I was proven wrong. The place was packed. Twisted fans are not only Twisted fans, but pop culture comic book fans are a hearty lot, man. And this is what I loved about growing up in Michigan. I'm currently in New Jersey. That's where Kevin Smith is based, and that's where we shot Comic Book Men. If it snowed like a quarter inch here, everything shuts down. Everyone clears all the supermarket aisles. Not in Michigan, man. We go on. They don't call school. They don't call for anything. So I like seeing that spirit and we don't care. 15 inches, that's nothing. And everybody came out, and we had a great time.
So Comic Book Men, obviously no longer on the air with AMC. Are you still working at the Secret Stash?
I'm in and out. I don't have to be there full time. I spend a lot of my time on the weekends. I go to Comic Cons. Me and Mike Zapsik, who is a fellow cast member from the show, we took off and started our own venture. We saw a window opening, and that's the world of podcasting, which you and I know is probably the most fun thing you can do right now. We actually opened up an entire studio where we welcome other people and we show them how to podcast. So we've really thrown everything behind this format, and we love it so much that we want everybody else to love it too. So we started our own podcast studio not that far from the store. So we kind of like, hey, if you're visiting the store, come down and podcast with me and Mike, because where else are you going to get the chance to do that? So
yeah, that's excellent. So do you're obviously very busy. You have your connections with Kevin Smith, and you've got your podcasting studio like you were just talking about. Do you still find the time to delve into the stuff you enjoy, like the science fiction and the comic books?
Oh God, yeah. I think probably now more than ever, especially going to Comic Cons, you have easier access to either back issues you're looking for, maybe something new that came out that you didn't get a chance to get the first time. And not only that, this is why I love the con so much, is that if you read something really cool, you have like 10,000 other people to gather every weekend to talk about it. That was something I was missing when I was growing up, being a comic book fan, loving pop culture, even loving Star Wars back in the 80s and
right.
90s.
Even as big as it was, you still had to find people to talk to about it if you wanted to get into in-depth conversations.
Yeah, you did, and even if you liked it, and even maybe someone else in your school liked it, you kind of had to hide it because people would beat you up over liking the stuff, oddly enough. And it's kind of nice to see that it's not like that anymore, where, you know, you're the cool kid if you know about vibranium and Wakanda.
Right.
And even midichlorians, although loving midichlorians might actually still get you beat up. But
it
that's
might.
That's a different story, but I love that you could go to a con almost every weekend. There's a huge con somewhere, and gather with like tons of people who know what you're talking about. Not only that, but they respect you for your knowledge. It's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another great thing about cons that that I personally tell people all the time is the cosplay. There's going to be tons of cosplayers out there, and cosplay is fascinating and cool, because if you really like a thing, whether it's Star Wars or Final Fantasy or something like that, if you can cosplay a character, it's an instant icebreaker. Somebody can come up to you and be like, hey, you obviously like a thing because you're dressed as this character. So do I.
Yeah. It's like, wow, you know, a nice cloud sword, or, you know, that's a cool Negan bat.
Right.
I remember back in the days, I going back to the some of the older cons that were in, like, you know, Dearborn, and there were a couple in Ann Arbor and Lansing and around there. And back in the 90s, cosplay was kind of a weird thing. You would see maybe two or three people dressed up, and they were getting funny looks. And,
right.
I love that now. If you're not in cosplay, you're the weird one.
Right.
You're the one getting the weird looks. Like, where's your cosplay? Why aren't you dressed up? And I love how that dynamic has been flipped on its head.
It's your weekend opportunity to live as one of your favorite characters. Why wouldn't you take up on it?
Yeah, absolutely. I love cosplay so much because, in real life, Wonder Woman and Batman and the Joker don't really exist. But you go to a con and they've literally come to life, and you can go get a photo with them and even act out scenes with them. And it's so much fun.
Right, right. Well, I know that when I head to Astronomicon this weekend, I'm going to be looking in the comic back issues for some back issues of the current Hulk run, the Immortal Hulk. I just read the first trade and fell in love with it, and now I got to find the rest of it. Is there anything that you're going to be hunting this weekend at Astronomicon?
I'm always looking. Currently, I don't think it sounds that weird, but currently I'm trying to build my whole entire run of West Coast Avengers. I don't, everyone loves the Avengers.
Right.
I never thought the West Coast version got enough love. For anybody not familiar, Hawkeye and Mockingbird and a couple other characters take off and they open up a branch in Los Angeles. And it's totally different dynamic. Los Angeles, Hollywood,
right,
a little more laid back. Tony Stark comes out to make sure everything's on the up and up every so often. And it's cool. And had a pretty nice long run. And, one of my favorite characters actually is Clint Barton, Hawkeye. So he's kind of the leader of the West Coast Avengers. And it's the Avengers, but done like L.A. kind of like surfer Hollywood style. And I've always loved it. So I didn't get a chance to collect it on its initial run, but I'm trying to work through all the back issues now. And back before the Endgame trailer premiered, everyone was like, where's Hawkeye? And it was like, man, wouldn't it be great if he went off and started the West Coast Avengers, and then that became a whole other movie franchise? And it's not too late to do that. I don't think they're going to do it now, but one day they will.
All right. Well, I got a couple of questions based off of your West Coast Avengers love before I let you go here.
That's the way.
First of all, have you read the new West Coast Avengers book, and what do you think of it?
I have not read the new one. I just haven't gotten to it yet, but
okay.
Have you read it?
I have, yeah. It's only like three or four issues in. It's Hawkeye's running the team, but it's both Clint Barton and Kate Bishop running the team.
Oh, okay, great.
And
I love Clint Barton. I think Kate Bishop is way cooler.
Yeah, Gwenpool is on the team. Quentin Quire from the X-Men. Kid Omega is part of the team. It's so much fun. It's written by Kelly Thompson. She's doing the Rogue and Gambit series right now, and she's killing it.
Knocking out of the park. All right, good. Well done, my friend.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask, because you're such a Hawkeye fan, Matt Fraction's run a Hawkeye.
I love it. I think, in my opinion, in maybe the last 10 years, it's like one of the most well-written, unique, and that goes for the artwork too. David Aja's artwork, just kind of purple, white, and gray color scheme. It's great, and I don't remember another comic book issue told entirely from the perspective of a dog who loves pizza. So
true enough.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I believe it was issue 4 or 6. It was a whole Hurricane Sandy issue where they dealt with a hurricane that actually hit our area pretty hard about 7 years ago, and actually hit Mike Zapsik. He lost his entire comic book collection in that storm. So
oh goodness.
He's since rebuilt.
Yeah,
but it was something that kind of related to us all personally. I was like, wow, what a great run! That's a Hawkeye I want to see in movies, and I hope I agree.
I
like the Jeremy Renner, but the whole he's got a whole hidden family and all this. It's all right, but I would love to see a Matt Fraction version of Hawkeye in the movies one day.
Well, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be fantastic to see you this weekend at Astronomicon. I'm definitely going to have to stop by your table and say hi. We can rap about Hawkeye. And I understand you talked to James from our station last week on Facebook, and he clued me in that you're also a huge fan of the sexy saxophone man from The Lost Boys.
Oh, God, yeah, for sure. So for anyone who hasn't heard, apparently they're looking to relaunch The Lost Boys as a TV series. which I'm all for. I think there's so many stories you can tell in that world that Joel Schumacher built in 1987. But one of the iconic figures is the oiled up sacks guy that you only see him for about maybe 30 seconds in the Lost Boys movie. But he is iconic. His name is Tim Capello. He's a star of the saxophone, played for Tina Turner and a bunch of other, Peter Gabriel. But yeah, in that one moment, in that one movie, he shined, like literally. He had so much oil on him. And yeah, occasionally, every so often, you'll see him pop up at a horror convention. And he sells his own brand of baby oil, and you can get a photo with him. He brings a saxophone. And yeah, still cool guy. He can still rock the sax. I think he's got a solo album out right now, and still in great shape. So yeah, Tim Capello, hats off to you. The sexy sax, oiled up sax guy from the Lost Boys.
All right, well, come on out to Astronomicon at the Wyndham Gardens this weekend. Talk to Ming Chen about the sexy sax man. Talk to him about Hawkeye. Just come out and say hi, man. It's going to be a good time. I'll be out there. James is going to be there. There's going to be wrestlers, Scott Steiner, Scott Hall, Goldust.
Yeah, Jake the Snake, man.
Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
I got to meet him a couple of years ago, and he is great. He's really cool dude.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys there.
All right, Ming. Well, thanks for calling in, and that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio. So you guys check us out on all our social media at Nerd Radio 101. Hit us up on iTunes. Give us a review. Give us a like, and meet us back here next week on wherever you get in your podcast. It's Nerd Radio.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out!
A couple of times we have had notes in front of us, but, like, we all have the same notes
the
in front
same
of
notes.
Us. We've all edited said notes to add things to it. This is the most organized we've ever been, and we could not get that thing off the ground. It was hilarious.
It's like those when they were first trying to get planes to fly.
Yeah, and the washing machine. This was the flying washing machine at the beginning of this show, and I could not have been more delighted with it.
The flying washing machine. Good Lord.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.